This is the Locked On Bengals podcast on a Thursday. Great to be with you. I'm your host, James Rapine. A lot to get to. On Twitter, at James Rapine, at Locked On Bengals. Dave Lapham coming up in just a few minutes here. He was on. You're going to hear from him. I have cuts of Dave Lapham. Didn't want to bother him. I'm going to bother him during training camp. And by the way, with training camp just 5 weeks away, this is the spot. I'm going to be at training camp. I'm going to be bringing you audio, video, interviews, stories every single day. I'm going to be at training camp, and I want you to be along for the journey. So if you know a Bengals fan, if you know fans that aren't aware of the Locked On Bengals podcast, let them know about us, because I want to keep growing this thing. And I know I've been out. Now I'm like back. I'm motivated. I'm ready. It's like, let's go. Let's get it good. And so, that's my hype voice. I'm looking for a hype man, by the way. If you want to be my hype man, you can tweet me. At James Rapine, at Locked On Bengals. As always, you can subscribe, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, the iHeartRadio app. Wherever you get your podcast, you can find the Locked On Bengals podcast, including at LockedOnBengals.com. And I want to start with Dave Lapham. And Dave Lapham was on 700 WLW with Lance McAllister. And a lot of this, to me, stood out. And the first thing is that there's been a lot of offseason excitement for the new offense. And Lance McAllister asked Lapp if that excitement had carried over from the offseason into OTAs and into minicamp. Here's what Lapp had to say.
I think the biggest thing, obviously, is going to be how the offensive line plays. It's, you know, Frank Pollock has been an interesting guy to watch. I mean, he hard coaches him, boy. And as soon as he hits that, that practice field, he's coaching every second until they leave the practice field. They're getting a ton of reps, and he is. There's no more dead grass, and there's not offensive linemen standing around killing grass. They are moving, hustling. Everybody's involved, and everybody's getting an opportunity. And I think it's going to fit. You know, if you've got what Bill Lazor wants to do, up tempo, get the ball out of Andy Dalton's hand quickly. You have to have an offensive line that can play up tempo, and the conditioning part of it that goes with that. So, I think I like what I see there with what Bill's doing, and I think the guys have been invigorated by the new terminology, something else to learn. I think some of the concepts that Bill's going to carry over, but it's going to look new, it's going to look different, and hopefully better, and I think it will.
That's Dave Lapham. He was on 700 WLW with Lance McAllister. And the offensive line, obviously, it's a huge question mark. Talked about it yesterday, the importance of Billy Price being cleared. Today, the biggest concern, I think, if Price is cleared, is what they do at right tackle. And if right tackle, to me, I would have tried to sign someone, because I don't think Bobby Hart's the guy. I'm worried about Jake Fisher. I mean, heck, he didn't really participate in OTAs much. Will he, and he is cleared, will he be good all of a sudden? He's past that heart condition, he's past the heart issue, but will he be a good offensive lineman, a competent offensive lineman? And Cedric Obwehi, I'm not sure there's really any hope for him. The Bengals putting a lot of eggs in one basket, the Frank Pollock basket. Here's Dave Lapham on the offensive line, and then he transitions into the right tackle spot.
Well, it's interesting. Fisher's been nicked up, so he's been sporadic in his opportunity to get snaps out there. Cedric Obwehi has gotten a ton of snaps at the right tackle position, and I think, to me, Lance, that I've followed that the most. I've been over watching the offensive line and Frank Pollock doing his drills when they're an individual period, and then watching the offensive line, work in the team part of it. And, Bobby Hart looks like he belongs. Cedric Obwehi, I think, is going to be a much different football player with the techniques and the aggressive posture and the techniques that Frank Pollock coaches. I think Cedric's, rising to the occasion and liking the transition. It's wide open. I think the young guards, I think Redmond and Westerman are playing really well. Mm. I think that, Frank Pollock's techniques fit them to a T. It's like, the glove fit in the hand. They've looked really, really good to me out on the field as well. And it really is. We talked about it before. In every sports endeavor, it starts with your feet and ends with your hands, yep, no matter what you're doing. And Frank Pollock's all about the proper footwork and then hand placement and finishing with your hands. And he does a lot of outstanding drills. They're attacking. They're punching. You know, they're not giving ground. They're not catching. It's entirely different. I think Andy Dalton's pocket is going to look very different. Mm. He's going to have time as well as space to see the football field. And it's funny, Lance, watching the offense run the football, even in the mini camp against the defense with Vontaze Burfict and Geno Atkins. Over the past few years, they've been stoned. They haven't been able to do anything. Now, with the new aggression, I mean, they're creasing them a few times.
Let's get one more from Dave Lapham here. You'll hear from more on Lapham later in the podcast. But this I like. Here's Dave Lapham on the new and improved John Ross.
I really have. Yeah, I think that he's responding to Bobby McNell, who's a great guy for building confidence in players. And, you know, I'm hoping, like we talked about, Lance, that we see the same book that was written for William Jackson.
Yep.
You know, his body betrayed him as a rookie and tore that pec and missed that whole year and played great his second year. John Ross's body and a few body parts betrayed him. And, you know, 15 snaps is all he got. So, you know, hopefully he has the same kind of resurrection and rising from the ashes that Jackson had. And watching him, you can see why he's not as consistent as you want right yet, but there'll be practices where, like, that's why this kid was drafted 9. I mean, look at the speed. Look at how he can transition out of the speed and not only accelerate but decelerate and cut underneath people and run routes. You'll see it, and then you'll see, boy, he didn't catch the ball as well today as he did the day before. But, you know, and you compare it to A.J. Green. Well, that's tough because A.J. Green probably does it better than anybody in the league, not just the Bengals.
Sure.
But I do think John Ross is going to have an impact.
All of that sounds good to me. I mean, from the sound of that, look, Ross looks better than he did at any point last year, substantially better. The offensive line looks better with the new aggression. To me, I'll see it and I'll believe it when I see it with the offensive line. With Ross, and you might be in the let me see it before I believe it with Ross. I'm not, because I know he can do it. I watched him. I didn't just buy into John Ross because he's this little quick guy who ran a 4.22. I watched him in Washington. I expect that. Like, I expect it. That's why I went out on that island. I went out on the John Ross is going to be good island, planted my flag there on before the draft and said this is who the Bengals should take because, good, yeah, of course, health matters. Health matters for every player. But I expect it. I expect him to be good. You know, like, I expect him to be a game changer. I expect him to beat William Jackson III at times. I do, because he's good enough to do that. Like, he was never just a single deep ball guy that only ran streak routes. Like, that's not him. Only run go routes. No. John Ross, he's legit. And I hope he gets the show it this year. Because if not, I would hate for him not to be able to, after he's put in all the work and it's apparent and it's clear. And I saw him in OTAs, and I posted video at James Erpine on Twitter. For him to not be able to take that and use it and show it on the field, I would hate for that not to happen, so hopefully it does for Ross. We'll hear Dave Lapham on Terrell Austin and also the team's attitude. He noticed a change in the team's attitude during minicamp. We'll get to that next on the Locked On Bengals podcast. One of the big things that the Bengals were looking to do this offseason is get more turnovers, force more turnovers on defense. And I think that that's really the only chink in their armor. Defensively, everyone's pretty much back. You know, the defensive line is probably better than ever. I know third-round pick Sam Hubbard is getting rave reviews from Marvin Lewis and the Bengals, and I think he's going to be able to contribute right away. Obviously, Carlos Dunlap is motivated, contract year. Geno Atkins, same thing. Vontaze Burfict out for 4 games, but overall, if you had to pick one thing for the Bengals defense to be better at, it's forcing turnovers. It's getting the ball, getting a short field to an offense that struggled at times last year, struggled for the majority of last season. And here's Dave Lapham. He was on with Lance, and this entire thing is at ESPN1530.com. But Lance asked Dave if Terrell Austin's message of creating turnovers has been evident.
Absolutely. Big time. You know, you kind of get what you coach.
Yep.
And if you're okay with deflecting passes, that's what you're going to get. But his mindset is, if you get your hand on it, get 2 hands on it. Pick it off. You know, get possession of the football. And in his mind, and in everybody else's mind, history has shown it, the better defenses in terms of turnover ratio and turnovers generated, usually are playoff teams. And last year, the Bengals offense led the league in three and outs. So the Bengals, unfortunately, their defense was out there a ton, a lot of possessions, too many possessions. But they only had 14 takeaways in all those possessions. The only team that had fewer is the Cleveland Browns. So, you know, it's a huge point of emphasis. And not only interceptions, every time there's an incompletion, the defensive backs and linebackers run to the football like it's fumble. So his simulation is, all right, there was a play on the football. Let's practice the fact that maybe it was a catch and separation from the ball, or there's a pile and the ball's rolling around on the ground. Get used to running the ball and pick it up. And they are doing that on every incompletion during the practice sessions and the team drills. So it's impressive to watch them. Everybody's running to the football. When you run to the football with a purpose like that, usually good things are going to happen.
I'm glad. And I think maybe the addition of Terrell Austin, it'll be a new message. It'll be a new way of thinking. And maybe it's that extra boost they need. When you get a new boss, what do? It's gut check time. You want to perform for him. You want to show him or her, hey, I'm your dude or I'm your woman. I'm your guy. I'm your lady. Right? And so we'll see. But that means George Iloka. That means Sean Williams. That means, obviously, the young kids like Jesse Bates. But that means even like a William Jackson. He wants to show, hey, I'm that dude who can just be on an island against the top receiver, and I'm going to get interceptions, and I'm going to be that guy. Dre Kirkpatrick struggled last year. Now he's got to reprove himself. That equity he had built up with Paul Gunther, that equity he had built up with secondary coach Kevin Coyle, out the window. Got to reprove it. And that's what I like there. And that might have been part of the reason why there's an attitude change in camp. Here's Dave Lapham on the change that he noticed in minicamp.
This football team, in my mind, in a lot of position groups, got too comfortable. And they got complacent. And now, with this five new position coaches that bring energy, enthusiasm, excitement, some youth, they're not as comfortable. Particularly the offensive line. Nobody's comfortable in that room. They're all on the edge of their seats. Frank Pollock is all over them. It's culture shock. And there's nothing wrong with being a little bit uncomfortable. If you're too comfortable, you know, then competition is not breeding excellence. You want to be uncomfortable. You want to be like, man, I better step it up and I won't be keeping my job. You know what? It doesn't matter what I did last year. Frank Pollock wasn't my line coach. Bob Bicknell wasn't my receiver coach. It's almost like you're with a new franchise. I mean, you're starting over. He doesn't care if you were a 4-year starter. You're starting over with him. And, you know, he's teaching different techniques. And, his philosophy is the players will dictate who's going to start, who's going to get percentage of snaps. He's not going to be the guy. The players will tell him by what they're doing who's going to play. And I'm telling you, the competition is back. The complacency is gone. It's not comfortable. It's uncomfortable in a good way. And it's got to be uncomfortable in a good way.
It sounds good to me. Look, it's being uncomfortable. You get the most out of yourself when you're uncomfortable, when you're pushing, when you're putting in the extra time, when you're doing all the extra work. That's why I had such praise for Billy Price yesterday, to be honest. He's the first round draft pick. He could go on vacation. He could go back home for a bit. He could take some time to himself, and I wouldn't blame him. And instead, he's breaking his back, doing whatever he needs to do. Not breaking his back. He's busting his tail to make sure he's good to go for training camp. Not overworking, but I don't think he's overworking, but I think he's working to get to where he feels comfortable mentally and physically for his first NFL training camp and to start for the Bengals. And that's what I want to see. That's what I love to see. I think that's what you love to see as a fan as well. I'm James Erpine. Thank you so much for listening today on the Locked On Bengals podcast. We'll be back at it. The plan is Monday. Might squeak in a podcast tomorrow. Plan is Monday, though. And if that's the case, well, then we're rock solid through training camp. We're going to do it every single day, Monday through Friday. I'm pretty sure that's the case. I'll be doing a little traveling tomorrow. That's why I say that. But if I can make it work, I will certainly have a podcast for you. I certainly have some plans, some topics to get to after the time off. Thanks to everyone who congratulated me. And thank you so much for listening. Back at it. Worst case, Monday. Have a great weekend if that's the case. I'm James Erpine. Thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast.